her hand. Now we're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 this morning. I want to deal with the subject of keeping the balance at Christmas. Keeping the balance. And we begin at verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before you and we thank you that we can worship that one who was born in Bethlehem's barn and laid in the manger, for he is none other than thy dear Son, God manifest in the flesh. While his deity was veiled by the flesh, yet he is still God. We thank you that those of us whose eyes have been opened by divine grace to behold his glory, we can say with John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory in thy Word when we looked at the cross, the empty tomb, and an occupied throne in glory where the Savior waits until that day when you shall say to him, Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When he arises, his enemies his footstool, and he returns in power and great glory as King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, take the word this morning, and with it search each of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. To be balanced at this season is so important because the world becomes very religious at this time of the year. And the flesh in the believer is looking for that which gives immediate satisfaction, though not lasting satisfaction. And a lot that the world proclaims today is going to last a day or so, and by New Year it'll be all over. But for the child of God, the fact that God is manifest in the flesh, that God became a man, and that today there's a man in the glory, Jesus Christ the Lord, who died on the cross, who was raised again from the dead by the power of God, is now in the glory, there to share with the Father the universal reign of the eternal God. Now, why is it important to keep the balance at this time of the year? It is so important because Ben Franklin was not a Christian, as we understand a believer to be in the true sense of the word. But Ben Franklin said, how many observe Christ's birthday, but how few his precepts. It is easier to keep a holiday than it is to keep his commandments. And how true. And if there's anything that should characterize the people of God, it's keeping of the commandments of God. Not basically a holiday, but his commandments. It's amazing when you go through the New Testament. Our Lord never asked us to remember his birth, but he did ask us to remember his death. And it seems easier to remember his birth than it is to remember his death. We need to be balanced, friends. It's easy to keep a holiday. It's more difficult to keep his commandments. Now, we're introduced here in Luke chapter 2 in the story of the birth of our blessed Lord to a genuine believer. And what a genuine believer experienced in those days. And verse 30 gives it to us. For Simeon, that old man who waited for the coming of the Lord, he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." When he took that baby in his arms, he was holding the God of the universe, the God who spake, and the universe came into being. Can I understand that? No, I can't understand that. But do I rejoice in that truth? I certainly do. Here was an infant, a baby, who could say to the Father when he came into the world, as recorded in Hebrews chapter 1, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And Simeon held him in his arms, and he could say, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." For the salvation of God, friends, for an individual, for a family, for anyone, is wrapped up in a person. It is knowing Jesus Christ. John 17, when our Lord was about to go to the cross, and he turned to the Father, and he said to the Father, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is eternal life. Knowing God, and knowing God is to know Christ. For to know Christ, he said, John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So when Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation," this is what a person experienced in those days who waited and looked for the coming of the Lord. Now, that child that Simeon held in his arms was God manifest in the flesh. That baby had wedded to him a divine nature. He was fully God, and he was truly man. Both God and man. God manifest in the flesh. And he was that at his birth. Now, when we speak of Christ as God, we don't mean that one-third of the Trinity shut down and God no longer was functioning as he previously did before he entered the womb of the Virgin. Oh no. No, what happened there in the incarnation? A divine nature was brought together with a human nature. And there was far more to Jesus Christ, that baby, than met the eye. God is God, holding together the great universe, the world, the one who is omnipresent, the one who is omnipotent, the one who is omniscient, having all the characteristics of deity, God remained as God and was functioning in all his capacities when Jesus Christ was born. Oh, Simeon says, in this passage before us, that Jesus Christ is going to accomplish three things. And it's these three things that to me are so important this morning. And it's these three things that will keep us in balance as believers. Because it's easy to keep a holiday. It's difficult to keep commandments. And we know him. And we love him because he first loved us. And our Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So, Simeon said, the Lord is going to do three things. This one who was born there in Bethlehem, he's going to bring revelation to the world. Second, he's going to bring division to the world. All the world is going to be divided because of him. Finally, he's going to bring judgment to the world. So let us consider those three things this morning, and I trust that you will carry them with you when you leave. First of all, Jesus Christ will bring revelation to the world. You have that in verses 30 through 32. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's revelation. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people, Israel. You notice the two categories of revelation that are mentioned here. The Gentiles and Israel. Light for the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were left out of much of the divine revelation of the Old Testament. To be a Gentile is like being something that is not wanted. And here we are, Gentiles, this morning. Basically, we're Gentiles. I don't know of a Hebrew among us. Now, some have questioned whether I was, but I have no way of knowing that. At least I consider myself a Gentile. But as a Gentile, friends, we're described in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, at that time, he says, remember. Here's something we're to remember. Remember, at that time you were Gentiles, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope, without God in the world. Five things that characterize us as Gentiles. A people not wanted. God's dealings had been with the nation of Israel. But light and understanding was going to come to the Gentiles, to this child. You know why I get excited about the birth of Christ? And when I love that hymn by Wesley, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. But because light has come to the Gentiles, I was an outsider by nature. If Christ had not come, I was without hope. I was without God. And I was in a world that is opposed to everything that's of God. But God took me, an outsider, and he made me an insider. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And oh, my friend, if you're not born of God, you may go through this holiday and you're still an outsider. It's through faith in him. As Simeon said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, that we become an insider, a light to lighten the Gentiles. It's thrilling. And the first church conference held at Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15 is a record. Verse 14, we read, James is speaking and he says, Simeon, and he's speaking not this Simeon of Luke 2, but Simon Peter. Simeon and Simon are synonymous. Simeon hath declared how God for the first time did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And what God is doing in this age, friends, basically is taking out from the Gentiles a people for his name. And we're Gentiles. God's going to bring revelation. This baby brings revelation, a light to lighten the Gentiles. But then he adds, there's a second part. The glory of my people, Israel. You see, in the past, God had given to Israel the Shekinah, his very presence, the Shekinah glory cloud that rested above the tabernacle. And you remember, in the tabernacle, the glory of God was localized. It dwelled with the people. And then when Solomon built that beautiful temple, and when he dedicated the temple, he said to God in his prayer, oh, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house that I built. But the glory of God filled that house, the temple. And one of the saddest readings in the Old Testament is Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11. In Ezekiel 8, the glory presence of God leaves the temple. It left. The saddest thing that I read there, when the glory left and it rested over the threshold of the door and waited. Nobody paid any attention. They were too occupied with other things. The glory left. And after resting over the threshold of the door, it moved to the Mount of Olives. And there the glory of God abode to be seen. But nobody paid any attention that the glory was leaving. Finally, the glory left. And the glory didn't return to Israel until the Son of God came. His name is what? Emmanuel. Oh, we sang that this morning. Pleased man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. John could say of him, we beheld his glory. The glory returned to Israel. That's what Simeon said. He's going to bring revelation not only to the Gentiles, but the glory is going to return to Israel. And one of the saddest things I read in John 1 is, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, for they are born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Lord Jesus was restoring the glory to Israel, but he wasn't recognized as doing that. But his presence is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But second, Simeon said that Jesus Christ will bring division to the world. And we have that in verse 34. He blessed Mary and he said, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. We're going to look at the fall first. Simeon is saying concerning Jesus Christ that many are going to stumble over him and be lost. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is a stumbling stone, that he is a rock of offense to those who are disobedient to his word. Why? Well, because many people do not understand his message. Men today do not understand the message. You see, in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people were always misunderstanding. Why? He was so clear. Never man spake like this man. But yet he was continuously misunderstood. And you know why they're misunderstood? Why he was misunderstood? People are bound by legalism. Their own laws. Their own righteousness. And that own thing that comes with their own works. And oh, how people are bound by their own activity, especially this time of the year. Oh, we need to keep a balance, friends. How we need the balance. We need it. You see, the people of our Lord's day, they misunderstood him. They couldn't understand the gracious provision of Christ and his message of liberty. What a tragedy when you think of it. That it was Jesus Christ who brought so much light to the world. And yet with that light came the condemnation of men. That great verse we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He brings with him light, but men reject the light and they are under condemnation. You see, the more light you have, my friend, the more severe is your judgment. For the more light you have, the more responsible you are. You're open in your Bible to Luke. Look over to chapter 12 for just two verses. Verses 47 and 48. Two very important verses. Luke 12, 47 and 48. Where we read, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." We learn from this that light brings responsibility. And you can stumble over the Lord Jesus this morning. He's set for the fall. And you can stumble over him into a lost eternity by just going on your own way and not paying attention to the salvation that's in Christ. Your own good works, my friend, will condemn you in that day. But notice, more than that, not only is he set for the fall, he's set for the rising again. There are some people who are going to be close to Jesus Christ. They're going to hear him. They're going to see him. They're going to believe him. Some will fall, but others will rise. He's set for the fall, but he's also set for the rise of many in Israel. Now, let me ask you a question. How do people rise? I don't want to be set for the fall. I want to be set for the rise. You see, how do people rise? Jesus Christ picks them up. I'm thinking of a woman that we read about in John chapter 4. She had five husbands. She was living with someone who wasn't her husband. And she was picked up by the Savior. The Savior talked to her about living water. And when he talked to her about living water, he extended to her the water of life. He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto you, give me a drink, you'd ask him, and he'd give you living water." He said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Jesus Christ picks them up. You see, he's the dividing line among men. This commercial aspect of Christmas is not really Christmas. You must be balanced, my friend. Jesus didn't simply come in order that we might have good cheer and be able to say Merry Christmas. He didn't come just to give us a few days off from work. He came to put a sword to humanity. And he divides. And all humanity is divided because of him. And this morning, a person is either in Christ or they're out of Christ. This child, Simeon said, is the salvation of God. He's set for the fall, but he's set for the rising again of many in Israel. Oh, my friend, has he raised you up? He's able. He's the only one who can raise you up. He can raise you up from despair. He can raise you up from anything that your sins have gotten you into. He is the one who is able. This child. We sang, "What child is this?" I'll tell you what child it was. None other than God, manifest in the flesh, the Savior of sinners, King of kings, Lord of lords. But there's a third thing that Simeon talked about. He said, this child is set to bring judgment to the world. This child is set to bring judgment to the world. Our Lord was speaking through Simeon in verse 35, and he spoke to Mary, and he said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He was speaking of what Mary would, what she would happen in her life as she stood by the cross that you read about in John chapter 19. And the cross would bring the thoughts of many hearts out in the open. The thoughts of hearts would be brought to light. And God is in a position to judge thoughts, you see. God deals with the motives of people. You and I are not permitted to judge people because we can't see into hearts. God can. Do you know what I'm thinking right now? No, you don't know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking right now it's 11:45 and it's time to quit, but I'm not going to quit. No, I told you what I'm thinking. That's the only way you know what I'm thinking. I have to tell you. And I don't know what you're thinking. But God does. God looks in the heart. He sees what's on the inside. Now you may try to bury your thoughts like you buried your sins, thinking that they're never going to come out, but they're going to come out. Because God is going to deal with them. It's through the cross that the thoughts of men's hearts are revealed. Now you may prefer to live with your thoughts, and you may prefer to live with your sins. But the person who does is going to die in their sins. And the Lord Jesus said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." You see, these thoughts, Jesus Christ gets to us through them. And he reveals himself. He probes our innermost being. And he uncovers what's there. And he shows us ourselves. And my friend, when he shows us ourselves, it isn't a pretty picture to look at. For we see the awfulness of sin and that which the ruin of sin has brought upon humanity. But oh, you know, there's no other religion in the world that'll do this. There's no other religion in the world that will deal with your innermost being, your thought life. Only Christianity can do it. Why? Well, because through this person, God manifests in the flesh. The thoughts of many hearts are revealed. In closing, I'd like to dwell on three things. First of all, number one, how do you stand today in relation to Jesus Christ? Now you can pretend in my presence and you can get away with it. I'm easily fooled. You can't do that with the Son of God. He knows the inside. He sees the thoughts of the heart. Therefore, are you going to reject him? Are you going to stumble over him? Because he's the cause of falling. Or are you going to rise? Are you determined like Simeon to see his salvation? Simeon could say, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The second thing is this. Wrapped up in that little baby that Simeon held in his arms was God's answer to the problem of sin, to the problem of rejection, to the problem of anxiety. As a Gentile, I was rejected. I was outside. But he's the answer. He's the answer to the problem of anxiety. He brings peace to the heart. You know, he's the only one qualified, friends, to bring us to God. No one else can do it. The third thing I'd like to leave with you is this. The words of Simeon. For we're going to leave in a few seconds. He said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." Now you can depart in peace by knowing Jesus Christ. It's knowing this blessed person whom Simeon held in his arms. What an experience that aged man had to hold in his arms the Son of God. How do you respond to Christ today? How do you respond to Him? How do you stand in relation to Him? God's people can join with me and we can sing together, "Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Christ adore." Now that you're on your feet, let's sing it one more time. Everybody together. Oh, come to the close of this service. We thank you for thy dear Son, that blessed one who left the glory of heaven in order that he might take our place in death and lift us up. Truly he is a light that has lightened the Gentiles, and he's the glory of Israel. He is Israel's Son and Israel's Messiah. And we thank you, our Father, that he came the first time, and we are looking for him to come again. And we thank you that one of these days he shall return. Now we ask you to take this word and bless it to each heart. Gather us together tonight with thy blessing. May it please thee, our Father, to take this company of people. We commend them to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.